Do me a favor, please mark a couple places in your Bible. We're going to close today with Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. If you can mark that, that way we'll be ready to get there when we're ready to get there. And then if you could please, I'll give you a second to do that, Isaiah chapter 43. And then we're going to read a story out of Matthew chapter 14. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You'll hear me say that a lot the more you get to know me. I love the Bible. There's a lot of stories in there that I really like. This one in particular, though, I have to ask. Some of you don't know me because Charlene and I are fairly new here, but I'm a retired Navy guy. I did 23 and a half years in the service. Do we have any other Navy veterans in attendance today? Not one, okay. How many Army veterans? I know Brother Willie. Any others? Coast Guard veterans, my daughter-in-law, Melissa, please meet Joshua, our son, and Melissa. They're here today. And of course, this is an Air Force town, so how many Air Force veterans? Yeah, quite a bit. So I thought you guys would get a treat out of a Navy story in an Air Force town, all right? So before we begin in Matthew chapter 14, I want to tell you a little story. And the thought behind the lesson today, really, I mean, we're ending another year. Getting ready to enter 2018 tomorrow. And I know that everybody has their own difficulties in life. And the older that we get, the more difficulties it seems that we have. And I know that some people really struggle with health, some with financial concerns, some with loss of a loved one. So this is a story that really resonates about loss, but about hope. And we'll get into that here in a second. So I don't know if you guys can remember back to September 11th, 2001. Some of you were not born. We have 8 grandchildren. Number 6 and number 8 are here today. Our oldest granddaughter is 15. She was not born when this happened. The World Trade Center. How many of you remember that attack? There are some things in our history we should never forget. We certainly should never forget Jesus and the sacrifice that He gave for us. But we should never forget that attack. A very monumental thing, changed our society, changed even how we even get into on an airplane today, right? Very difficult to get on an airplane compared to the days of old. You may have never heard of this guy. His name is Frank Seleccia. But you may have heard of something that he discovered. Frank was a construction worker by trade in New York City. He made things for a living. But this particular day, he was a volunteer. Like so many other people who volunteered to really go through the rubble of the World Trade Center. September 13th, he's volunteering. This is a true story, by the way. You know, like so many of us back then, I was active duty, Navy. Our oldest son, Dwayne Jr., was active duty Air Force. Willie, you were still active duty. You know, these kinds of things really resonated with our family, and I was very troubled by this. And you're trying to make sense of this tragedy. How could this happen? Charlene and I lived 20 miles from the Pentagon, 20 miles from Annapolis Naval Station. You know, this was a real attack, and there were friends of mine that were in certainly the Pentagon at the time, and there were some people that I lost that were shipmates. I didn't know anybody in the World Trade Centers, but this was a really devastating thing. And I want you to think about this. We are a nation that now has been at war for over 16 years. We don't hear much about that in the news. We hear about all the other junk. But we don't hear about the fact that men and women are dying for the freedom that we have in this country to be able to come together and open up a Bible. So I want you to think about that. A lot of time has transpired, but we as Christians, we have been in spiritual war forever, right? The devil is there waiting to get in. And when does he get in? He normally gets in at a very vulnerable time in our life. And we talked about this on Wednesday nights with Judas, right? Luke says that Satan entered Judas before he betrayed Christ. Satan enters us Christians really at a very vulnerable time. So here's Frank and these other volunteers that are going through this rubble. And he's trying to make sense of the senseless attack. You know, why did this happen? But, you know, a few hours into the work, there he spotted it. this terrible wreckage, he spotted a 20-foot cross. There it was, standing there, with not hoisted in place by some winch or a hoist, wasn't cemented in place, but it was just there. 20-foot cross beams. You know, so this picture that John had for the Lord's table with the cross, think of that, a 20-foot cross in the midst of all of this rubble. And really helped, it helped him and so many others that day that were asking the question, where is God in all of this? And I know in our own lives, we ask that question a lot. Some of you have had tragedies, and you've probably asked that question. And I'm not one to tell you that you shouldn't be asking that question. Charlene and I lost our first grandson, Joseph, 13 years ago, almost 14 years ago. Boy, I tell you, I was mad. I asked that question a lot. You know, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And some people can criticize that. That's okay, because you haven't gone through it. It was our oldest son's first son. But we went through it as a family. Most difficult time that we ever had. But you know, one of the things that I've learned, just like Frank learned, where was God? He was right in the middle of it all. This is a story that we're going to read today. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning in verse 22, it says, I read out of the New King James Version. I know many of you use NIV. It's going to be very similar. 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he set the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer," or some translations will say, "Take courage." Be of good cheer. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now we're not going to get too much into Peter today, but if you come on Wednesday nights, we're going to be talking about Peter probably for the next two Wednesdays. I want to focus on the disciples, on the storm, and on Jesus. So I want to share, I asked the question about veterans. Now, one of the things I didn't ask, I was trying to get a sense, is there anybody that's ever experienced a bad storm on the water before? And I do know that we have some cruisers in the audience here, members here that take a lot of cruise ship tours. And I know Thelma told me a story about the time that her and Bill was on a cruise ship and the seas got pretty bad and she really struggled with that. So she can relate to this, and maybe some of you can. I spent 7 years at sea out of Mayport, Florida, two different cruisers, USS Gettysburg and USS Philippine Sea. I've been in some terrible storms. And the last one that I really remember was really coming back from my last six-month deployment on USS Philippine Sea. We're in the we come through the Mediterranean, we get into the Atlantic, and we hit a bad storm. Now, you may ask yourself, you know, can't you just miss the storm? Can't you just drive the ship around it? Well, we saw with Hurricane Irma this year, sometimes those storms are so bad you just cannot get out of the way. This was one of those storms. In the middle of the Atlantic. The ships are designed to be able to handle about, and we've got engineers in here, so you'll appreciate a little bit of this math. Ships are designed to handle about a 45 degree roll. I'm the officer of the deck on the bridge. The bridge is 177 feet up from the waterline. The ship is rolling 42 degrees. At 45, it can literally flip over. So you get a little nervous. were in this really bad storm for 3 days. So I really have an appreciation for the disciples. They're on this storm. We've read about this. And you would think, well, it's just the Sea of Galilee. Well, there's a, if you know anything about the terrain over there, very mountainous. And there is, on the northern edge of the sea, there is a mountain range. The winds come across that range down into the sea and can create waves up to 10 feet. It happens all the time. Imagine our disciples now. They're in this wooden boat. It's not a Navy cruiser. It's not, you know, they're not 177 feet up from the waterline. They're at the waterline, right? They're being tossed around pretty bad. How long is it going on? I can tell you from my own experience, there were times, I wasn't sure the ship was going to make it through the storm. And I'll tell you, that 3 day storm, when we came out of that, the ship was badly damaged. I was also, I'm a cryptologist by trade, intel part, but I was also the communications officer on Philippine Sea. The radio shack is above the waterline. It's actually on the third level of the ship. And so it's the superstructure. The storm was so bad, it literally cracked the superstructure. And I thought, oh, a crack. You know, the guys called me, Mr. Akins, please come quickly. I run up there. The crack, I can put my hands through. So I had to call the captain. Captain, we've got some severe damage here. I can see real daylight here, right? I mean, this superstructure has now been compromised. Well, that was the least of the damage. Fuel tanks were ruptured. Things were missing off of the ship. I mean, this is a bad storm, right? You know, and you can tell how bad a storm is on these ships because you can see footprints on the bulkheads. The bulkhead is a wall, right? Because the ship is rolling. Guys got to walk around the ship. And here it is. But we always survived. These ships were well made. We weren't on a wooden, what we would consider now to be a wooden fishing boat, right? Like these disciples. They're in 10-foot waves. This is a terrible storm. And when you're in that situation, like any other major storm in your life, sometimes you can't see past the storm. That's all that you're dealing with right in front of you, right? So let's look. Verse 23 and verse 24 of our story says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, according to the Jews, evening started at 6 p.m. So let's just assume, for the sake of our story, that it's now 6 p.m. Sun is setting. It's getting dark. The temperature changes. The weather's come in. And all of a sudden, here these disciples find themselves in the middle of the lake in a bad storm. Jesus is nowhere to be found. So the Bible says on the fourth watch. The fourth watch during that time frame would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So I don't know, when those of you that are on the cruise ships, are you out and about at 3 a.m. in the morning? Probably sleeping, right? Well, I can tell you from my years of sea duty, we didn't have the 3 a.m. watch. We had the 4 a.m. watch. It went from midnight to 4, from 4 to 7. What's so difficult about being out at 3 o'clock in the morning on the middle of a big, large body of water? You can't see anything. It's dark. And now, if you have a nice night where the moon is out, you get some good visibility from that. But here it is, they're in a storm. There's cloud cover, there's wind, they can't see anything, it's dark. And I'll tell you, from standing many, many mid-watches myself, I always said, nobody should be up at 3 a.m. Now, I know, unless you're doing it for work. Nothing good happens at 3 a.m. in the morning, all right? So there we have it. These disciples have been on this boat fighting this storm now for about 9 hours. Imagine that. Anything happened in your life seemed like it was going to last forever? This is what these disciples were going through. And I will tell you, through the week, I've had some interesting dialogue with Jim Anderson and John, because there's different ways to look at these disciples. They had the courage to get in the boat. Most of them were fishermen. They understood the weather. Right? Now, sometimes with the weather in that region, you can't predict when something was coming in. But, you know, they could look at the sky and they kind of understood what was going to happen. They had the courage to get in the boat. When we talk about Peter on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about Peter has the courage to get out. That's such an important message for us today. As Christians, we have to have the courage to be able to get out of the boat to do the Lord's work. Peter is a great example for us, as is Jesus here. Okay, so here it is. They're fighting the storm. The crisis has occurred. And I have to ask the question. Have you had a situation in your life where you've prayed about and prayed about and prayed about it earnestly, honestly, sincerely, and you didn't get the answer that you were looking for? I know it's had to happen, because this happened to me. When we lost our grandson, I prayed at least a million times for our oldest son. His marriage dissolved. He left the church. It took 10 years for him to come back to the church. I didn't think that those prayers were going to be answered, but they were answered. It just took a long time. It took 10 years. We see Jesus working in our life. So I don't have the answer for you on the timing, but I know this because of faith. God's timing is always at the right time, always at the right place. And only God knows when that timing is for us. But I know our blessing in the Lord, God's timing is perfect. 10 years for our son, long time to recover, right? For our family, but the recovery occurred. So you got to ask yourself, when you're going through all of this, where is Jesus? The disciples were saying it. I mean, they were in this boat for a long time, rocking and rolling, not doing too well, probably thinking this is it. They're going to die a terrible death in the middle of the sea. It was Jesus' idea to get into the boat for us to go. Where is he? But at the right time, we have a remarkable story. Let's go back to our text, Matthew 14. And we look at Jesus. Verse 25, now the fourth watch of the night, 3 a.m., Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? And they cried out for fear. And I know they had fear in their hearts, because I've had fear in my heart out there sometimes. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, or take courage. I like the take courage part. It is I, do not be afraid. But I want to share a little bit with you about the literal translation from the Greek, because it doesn't say, it is I. That's more the way the English would say it, right? The literal translation from the Greek says, take cheer or take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. And this I am is really important, because Jesus is the great I am. And I believe that when he said, take courage, I am, they understood what that meant. Why? Because if you remember back at the burning of the bush, when Moses had his interaction with God, God wanted Moses to go back to Egypt to bring his children out of slavery. There was a conversation. Moses said, who is it I should say has sent me? And God said to him, I am who I am. This is what you should say to the Israelites. If they ask me who I am, I am. So this is very important, because here in the middle of this storm, Jesus is identifying himself with God and letting the disciples know that God is right there in the midst of that storm. So when Jesus knew his disciples were in trouble, what did he do? Did he call an angel to take care of it? No. Did he calm the sea? No, that's a different story. What did he do? He walked out there on the water. He knew they were in trouble. His hair was getting wet. His robe is getting soaked. The rain is pelting him on the face. What did Jesus do? He got right in the middle of that storm. And this is important for us today, because Jesus did that because he needs to feel, he can feel what we feel. That's such an important part, right? Jesus could have done anything to calm that storm, to make those disciples feel better. But he walked on that water. he walked through that storm. The text said the storm didn't cease until after they entered the boat. Jesus feels what we feel. This is why God sent him to earth, to understand creation, us. So he knows when we hurt, he hurts. So in the midst of that storm, Jesus was able to help. Did he send somebody else? No, he sent I Am. In the midst of our storm, who's he going to send? He's going to send I Am. He's there for us. So whatever storm you may find yourself in today, I want you to know, as the hope that we have going into 2018, just like we did in all these other years of my life, Jesus, the great I Am, is there for us. As we get ready to close, we're going to go to Isaiah 43 here in a minute. I want to finish the story about Frank. This is a very interesting story. A few years after this, Frank was contacted by a Christian journalist. I don't know what magazine or paper it was. But they were doing an interview, and the journalist asked, what did that do to you that day, seeing that cross in the middle of that rubble, the World Trade Center? And he said, if I wouldn't have seen that cross, I would have been a basket case. That cross, knowing that God was there, is an image that will forever be tattooed in my mind. And he's been able to walk ever since then in a good, positive Christian way because he recognized that in the midst of that terrible tragedy, all of that loss, that God was there. And we're given that promise today. So I want to finish with Isaiah chapter 43. I want to thank my daughter-in-law, Missy, for recommending this. We were having a conversation about our blessings the other day. And she's studying this part of Isaiah right now. And I think it was a good scripture because as we're finishing up 2017 and beginning 2018, I want to read verses 18 through 21. It says, and this is important too, if you read the rest of chapter 43, you know, they're coming out of Israel or out of Egypt. They've been rescued. They've come through the Red Sea. And now this is another promise for them, which I think is true for us today. Verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Think about that for a second. There were no roads in the wilderness, and there was no water in the desert. This is God's promise to his people. Forget about how bad things were before. Recognize where you are today, and look what I'm going to do for you tomorrow. This is the hope I want you to go into 2018 with, the hope of tomorrow. I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. To give drink to my people, my chosen, these people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Amen. So, that's the message today. If you haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior, there's no time like today, this morning. You know, baptismal is the beginning of that journey. So please, if you need prayers, if you want to come forward for prayers, we're capable of that as well. Please, as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Restore my spirit, Lord.